First reading can be found on page 1187 of the Church Bibles and on page 2086 in the large print version. The reading today is from 1 Thessalonians chapter 3, verses 6 to 13. Timothy's encouraging report. But Timothy has just now come to us from you and has brought good news about your faith and love. He has told us that you always have pleasant memories of us and that you long to see us, just as we also long to see you. Therefore, brothers and sisters, in all our distress and persecution, we were encouraged about you because of your faith. For now we really live, since you are standing firm in the Lord. How can we thank God enough for you in return for all the joy we have in the presence of our God because of you? Night and day, we pray most earnestly that we may see you again and supply what is lacking in your faith. Now, may our God and Father himself and our Lord Jesus clear the way for us to come to you. May the Lord make your love increase and overflow for each other and for everyone else, just as ours does for you. May he strengthen your hearts so that you will be blameless and holy in the presence of our God and Father, when our Lord Jesus comes with all his holy ones. This is the word of our Lord.
Thanks be to God.
The gospel can be found on page 1057 in the Church Bibles, or page 1865 in the large print version. The reading is from Luke chapter 21, verses 25 to 36. Hear the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ according to Luke.
Glory to you, O Lord.
There will be signs in the sun, moon, and stars. On the earth, nations will be in anguish and perplexity at the roaring and tossing of the sea. Men will faint from terror, apprehensive of what is coming on the world, for the heavenly bodies will be shaken. At that time they will see the Son of Man coming in a cloud with power and great glory. When these things begin to take place, stand up and lift up your heads, because your redemption is drawing near. He told them this parable. Look at the fig tree and all the trees. When they sprout leaves, you can see for yourselves and know that summer is near. Even so, when you see these things happening, you know that the kingdom of God is near. I tell you the truth. This generation will certainly not pass away until all these things have happened. Heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will never pass away. Be careful, or your hearts will be weighed down with dissipation, drunkenness, and the anxieties of life, and that day will close on you unexpectedly like a trap. For it will come upon all those who live on the face of the whole earth. Be always on the watch and pray that you may be able to escape all that is about to happen and that you may be able to stand before the Son of Man. This is the gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
So as we remain standing, a prayer. Heavenly Father, may my spoken words be faithful to your written word and lead us to the living word, our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Please be seated. So let me begin by wishing you all a happy new year. As Andy and Camilla have reminded us, today is the first Sunday of Advent, and Advent marks the beginning of the church's year. Advent means coming. And during the season of Advent, we look forward to the return of the Lord Jesus Christ. And we also prepare to celebrate the first coming of Jesus, God with us, at Christmas. So Advent is a time of waiting, anticipating, and preparing. Now, we've just spent some weeks looking at the prophecy of Joel, whose great theme is the day of the Lord, the final judgment of God. This morning is the last of our day of the Lord passages, Jesus' own prophecy of judgment to come. Our gospel reading is the second half of that prophecy by Jesus. The first half related to judgment on the corrupt Jewish system of religion that Jesus openly opposed and challenged throughout his ministry. And the second half relates to judgment that will come upon the corrupt world system at Christ's return. The setting for the prophecy is Jerusalem in Holy Week. Jesus had entered Jerusalem in triumph on Palm Sunday. He had wept over the city and prophesied its destruction because they had not recognized God's coming to them. And he had been so enraged at what the temple had become, he had driven out the traders and the money changers. He then spent the next few days in the temple courtyards teaching the crowds and crowds of people who had come to celebrate the great festival of Passover. At the end of chapter 19, it says, "Every day he was teaching at the temple, but the chief priests, the teachers of the law, and the leaders among the people were trying to kill him. Yet they could not find a way to do it, because all the people hung on his words." Jesus and his disciples were at the very center and pinnacle of everything that it meant to be Jewish, the great temple in Jerusalem. And there was nothing the Jewish leaders could do to stop him. Now, possibly overwhelmed by their success, his disciples looked around and marveled at how impressive the temple was. But Jesus immediately corrected them. "As for what you see here, the time will come when not one stone will be left on another. Every one of them will be thrown down." The magnificent temple, still incomplete, that looked like it would stand for all time, its days were numbered. Jesus warned his disciples not to put their faith or their trust in man-made institutions or buildings, no matter how impressive. It is the seemingly unimpressive things of this world that have honor in the kingdom of heaven, like a poor widow giving everything she has to charity, like turning the other cheek, and like a cross on a hill outside the city where Jesus would die within 48 hours, where failure by the world's standards became the ultimate triumph. Then Jesus prophesies again about the destruction of Jerusalem. And he speaks in language very similar to that of the prophet Joel. And he gives his disciples some very good advice that I think it's important for us to take on board too. In verse 8 of chapter 1, "Watch out that you are not deceived, for many will come in my name. Do not follow them. When you hear of wars and uprisings, don't be frightened. These things must happen first, but the end will not come right away." Then he said to them, "Nation will rise against nation and kingdom against kingdom. There will be great earthquakes, famines, and pestilences in various places, and fearful events and great signs from heaven. But before all this, they will seize you and persecute you. Everyone will hate you because of me. Stand firm, and you will win life. So, don't be deceived by false teachers. Don't be frightened by the terrible things that are going on around us. And stand firm in our faith." After Jesus' ascension to heaven, the gospel, as we know, spread all over the Roman Empire, and there were periodic persecutions of the Christians. In the late 60s AD, the Jews rebelled against the Romans and forced them out of Israel. The Romans, under Vespasian, reinvaded Israel. They besieged Jerusalem. After 5 months of siege, they broke into the city. In 70 AD, Jerusalem was burned, many were massacred, the rest enslaved, and the temple was pulled down stone by stone. Within 40 years of Jesus' prophecy, Jerusalem was destroyed, and the Jewish people were scattered to the corners of the Roman Empire. Jesus then moves on to the next part of his prophecy concerning himself, our reading from this morning, the coming of the Son of Man. Again, there will be signs in the sun, moon, and stars. On the earth, nations will be in anguish and perplexity at the roaring and tossing of the sea. People will faint from terror, apprehensive of what is coming on the world, for the heavenly bodies will be shaken. At that time, they will see the Son of Man coming in a cloud with power and great glory. When these things begin to take place, stand up and lift up your heads, because your redemption is drawing near. Now, we don't know what these signs in the sun, moon, and stars are exactly, whether they are literal or whether they relate to nations and empires and great rulers, which is often the case with prophetic writing. The roaring and the tossing of the seas is often used in the Bible as a metaphor for political confusion, instability, or the absence of peace. So it's hard for us to work out the times of all of this. But that's the point. We aren't really meant to know. Both Matthew and Mark record Jesus as saying, "But about that day or hour, no one knows, not even the angels in heaven, nor the Son, but only the Father." Luke records Jesus as saying to his disciples before his ascension, "It is not for you to know the times or dates the Father has set by his own authority." So we aren't meant to know the time in advance, but we must be ready for the time when it comes. Like the leaves falling, like leaves on trees telling us that summer is coming, there will be signs that tell us that Christ is coming. Whether those signs are the things that we live with and have lived with for the last 2,000 years, nation against nation, earthquakes, pestilence, disease, or whether they will be specific signs that each of us will see and know. That's the point. But while other people are fainting in terror at what is happening, Jesus encourages us to stand up with our heads held high. So while everybody else is cowering, Jesus says to us to stand and raise our heads at what is coming. Because those who belong to the Lord Jesus have nothing to fear. Jesus declares that his word is the only thing that we can depend on. Not the planet we stand on, or even the billions and billions of stars that we gaze up to, because created things can fail. But the promises of our Creator stand forever. Heaven and earth may pass away, but his words will never pass away. His promises to us will never fail. So there is a lot that we don't know about the end times. But we do know that we are secure in Christ if we place our trust in him. And we know we have to be ready. Be careful, or your hearts will be weighed down with carousing, drunkenness, and the anxieties of life. And that day will close on you suddenly like a trap. For it will come on all who live on the face of the whole earth. Be always on your watch and pray that you may be able to escape all that is about to happen, and that you may be able to stand before the Son of Man. Advent is a reminder to us of the need to always be ready for the return of our Lord Jesus. Because the return of the Lord Jesus will be a time of ultimate blessing, where creation will finally be restored to all that God intends it to be, it is a time that we can look forward to. But because it will also be a time of judgment for those who willfully deny the sovereignty of God, it is not a time that we can look forward to with triumphalism. As Jesus wept over Jerusalem and the Jewish nation, Jesus weeps over our nation, our community, our people. And we are to weep with him. And while we wait, we are to live our lives in the service of God as if the Lord Jesus is returning at any moment. We are to be ready. We are to stand firm. We are not to be afraid. We are to be patient. And we are to watch and pray. Let us pray now. And the music group is going to lead us in prayer. And if you'd like to join with them, sing with them. If you'd like to sit in silence, feel free to do so. Merciful Father, break our hearts for the things that break yours, that we may weep over your world as you weep. And make our love increase and overflow for each other and for everyone else. Strengthen our hearts so that we will be blameless and holy in your presence, our God and Father, when our Lord Jesus comes with all his holy ones. Amen.